This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. I'm Oisín Langan, coming to you from Richmond Park, where Shamrock Rovers earned a 2-0 victory against St. Pat's. Johnny Kenny with a good goal in the first half. Trevor Clark with an amazing goal in the second. We'll hear from Stephen Bradley and Tim Clancy, who spoke to us after the game. Bradley didn't just speak to us about the performance. He also spoke to us about Jack Byrne staying and a little bit about the detail of that. Colin Hawkins was on analysis of the game for LOI TV. We'll chat to him about the match, but also the battle he himself is going through at the moment. If you're a fan of the LOI Central podcast, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. He spoke to them in depth about it recently, and it's definitely worth your time. Paul Crowley was watching Drogheda's 2-0 defeat to Bowes at Weavers Park. He'll send us a voice note on what happened in that game. He'll give us his thoughts on it. Neil Horgan watched Derry City beat Cork City 3-1 at Turner's Cross. Neil Horgan, former Cork City fullback. A big night for Derry supporters. Not only did they get the win, but also Mikey Duffy and Colin Whelan were on the score sheet. If they can keep those two fit and keep those two right, they will be right up there for the season. Shelburne drawing 1-1 at home to Dundalk. Not a bad result considering they were down to 10 men from the first half. Moylan put them one up with the penalty, but Tullock equalised in the second half for Dundalk. I'm going to put my hand up and confess that I forgot to book someone for that game. So we don't hear from Talca Park in the podcast this evening, but we've heard an awful lot from both clubs recently, so I hope you forgive me. Also, that game was on RTE, so if you really want to get the reaction, you can do so through their social media channels. By the way, just to go back to Weavers Park, we're going to hear from Paddy Kirk, who chatted to Ronan McNamara after the game as well. We'll get started, though, on the reaction. Stephen Bradley and Tim Clancy to come, but first, the thoughts of Colin Hawkins on Shamrock Rovers' 2-0 win against St. Pat.
I thought it was a cracking game, to be honest. I think Rovers were you know, they were the dominant team. It was a game you come with to expect. Jack Byrne, Chris Forrest, or Graham Burke to be outstanding in the game, but it was more, for me, more the defences on top, and for me, the Rovers, the back three, they were just so solid all night. They gave Owen Doyle little or no chances. Anything came their way, they snuffed it out. And then there was two really good finishes. The one from Johnny Kenny in the first half took it really well. And the Trevor Clark one, again, if you look back on it, probably Rovers or Pats could have defended it a little bit better. They'd be disappointed with that one. But overall, I think the better team won on the night. You know, they're just such a good outfit, and that you can see the players they can bring on off the bench in the second half. They have a seriously strong squad, and they're going to take some stopping Rovers.
I'm massively oversimplifying it, but did we see tonight the difference between Shamrock Rovers, who are going for their fourth title in a row, and St. Pat's, who are kind of still building?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't be critical of Pats. They've done nothing wrong. There was no poor performance at all there. Everyone put in a shift. The bodies they brought on some legs in the second half. And it was just when they were having their little bit of spell, you thought they might get back in the game. That's when Trevor Clark hit them with the sucker blow, you know. But nothing to be too despondent with Pats. As you said, they've a bit of a bridge to gap when you look at their bench versus what Rovers can bring on. But that's what Pats are trying to build under Tim Clancy. And they've had four great wins in a row. So, you know, they need to bounce back, and they will do, like they've done it previously.
Hearing a light ripple of applause from the Shamrock Rovers fans behind the goal off to our left at the shed end. That's because some of the Rovers players are coming out to warm down, including Richie Towle, who came off the bench tonight. That back three were back for Rovers tonight. Grace, Lopez, O'Neill played in front of them. Cleary. That's a solid base to build on, isn't it, for Rovers? And we saw that tonight.
Yeah, when you can play three at the back like that and you have the experience of Manison behind you sweeping things up, I mean, that's how you win league titles. And again, you mentioned Gary O'Neill and Poom in front of them. You know, really impressed with them as well. They just got about their jobs really well. So if you've got that solid foundation, you know you've got match winners. And you don't expect Trevor Clark to pop up with a goal like that. Johnny Kenny, yes, he's there to get goals, but they've got goal scorers all throughout. And then you bring on fellas like Aaron Green. They just have strength and depth right throughout. So they are the team to stop, but you know, you still have the likes of Bowes. You can't knock Bowes. They're still up. They're at the top tonight, and Derry are getting injuries back. They're going to be right there till the end. But Rovers are definitely the team to beat.
Aaron Green giving you the thumbs up. You're a popular man around these parts. Another former Saint, of course, Aaron Green. What about St. Pat's? What did we learn about them tonight? What will they have taken from the game?
Again, not to be too despondent, they have injuries at the moment at the back, you know, so it was a little bit makeshift at the back. They've young McGrath gone in there on loan from Coventry beside Noah Lewis. Would they be their first choice? Probably not. So that's probably where they struggled a little bit. But you know, they just got to keep going. There was a lot of positives there in their squads. You know, Chris Forrester was having an outstanding season, so you know, they just got to keep going.
And Roland Finn was shouting out for you there, but Jamie Moore told him, hang on, wait till he's done with his interview, which will be done soon, Colin, you'd be delighted to hear. Did we see the importance tonight in his absence of Joe Redmond? Maybe I'm being overcritical because it's easy to say, well, they weren't great because they were missing players, but Joe Redmond, the Rock of Richmond, as he's known, was out, and he was a loss, wasn't he?
Well, if you look at the difference that Roberto Lopez has made since he came back into the Rovers squad recently, it's that bit of experience, and that's what Joe Redmond probably brings to the pass back line. You have that little bit of stability in there, so they probably did miss that tonight. But then again, Noah Lewis hasn't had a bad game, and Jay McGrath hasn't had a bad game either. So, yeah. You know, I just think they've just come up against a better team tonight. That's it.
Okay, just before I let you go, you did an in-depth interview with Dan McDonald and Johnny Ward on the LOI Central podcast a couple of weeks ago. We don't need to repeat that interview. People could go back and listen to it. But how are you?
Doing okay. Yeah, listen, I've obviously had a tough time. Got diagnosed with myeloma cancer in January, which was a bolt from the blue. And then I've had probably 3 months of easy treatment up until now, chemo treatment. And I know I'm going into a really tricky summer where I have probably May, June, July, where I'm going to spend most of the time in hospital in Galway with the stem cell transplant. And then you're just trying to get this cancer into remission and get some good news at the end of summer. So listen, I just want to thank everyone who's given me support right throughout the football fraternity in Ireland. It's really helped me a lot, and just delighted to come here tonight. I really look forward to it all week and enjoy the experience of doing the commentating, and you know, hopefully I can do some more of this. So you know, I'll be okay, and I just appreciate all the support I've got.
And I know that Cancer Care West have been amazing with you, and you want to shine a light on them and encourage people to support them if they can.
Yeah, again, they're an organisation in Galway, which are, you know, they get some sort of funding, but they need as much funding as they can, and they've been a great support for me. I've been down there to a few support groups that really helped me, so it was great. We did a little blitz at St. Mochta's, my club, and raised 7 or 8 grand for them, which was brilliant to be able to go down there and give them that check. So yeah, just want to thank them. You know, there's a lot of support out there which you need when you're going through the tough times.
And finally, I know it's a message we hear all the time, but you want to ram it home. If you don't feel right, whether you're male or female, but particularly men, because we don't admit to this stuff, do we? We don't like to give in. That's how we think of it, which is silly. But your advice is to get it checked out. It's tough to get GPs, but really just go after it. If you feel bad, get it looked at, get it sorted, get it examined. Don't leave it.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't be me. Don't be one of the 10% of the country that don't even have a GP. Because when I got in, it was very difficult to get a GP to get even any sort of treatment. So have a GP first of all, and then if you're worried, mine started off as just a rib pain, and they thought it was a viral infection, and then a month later I'm diagnosed with cancer. So you just never know. I mean, I'm fit and I'm healthy, which obviously hopefully stand to me when I come through the treatment. So, but yeah, if you're not feeling well, please go get yourself checked out.
Colin, a real pleasure working with you tonight. Thanks very much for chatting to us. If people want to find out more about your story, they can listen to the kind of full detailed chat that you did with Dan and Johnny. It was excellent on the LOI Central podcast a couple of weeks ago. But for now, for the extratime.com League of Ireland voice notes podcast, I will say thank you to Colin Hawkins. Colin, you have to go off now and talk to your friends. Everyone wants a piece of you tonight. For us, we're going to get some reaction from the managers. Stephen Bradley, Shamrock Rovers head coach, a 2-0 victory here at Richmond Park. Your thoughts on the game?
I thought we were very good. I thought we deserved to win. I thought we were quite comfortable. We could have won by more, to be honest. I think they had a couple of moments in the first half. But other than that, I thought we were very, very good and controlled the game for large parts.
Talk me through your goals. They were very well taken by Johnny Kenny and then Trevor Clark.
Yeah, we had a couple of opportunities before Johnny scored, but it was a great spin from him to get in behind and a good finish. And then Trevor's goal was top class. He obviously gets into that space in the centre of the pitch and puts in the top corner. I don't think any keeper's saving that, so 2 really good goals.
Jack Byrne provided yet more evidence tonight why Rovers fans, and I'm sure his manager, is delighted that he's staying.
Yeah, look, Jack's the best player in the country. He's a top player and he's in the form he is right now that he was a couple of years back when he went to Cyprus. I think he's playing at that level at the moment. I think he showed incredible maturity tonight and how he approached the game and how he played in the game, because it could have been quite easy to get distracted with everything that was going on. And that wasn't easy for him during the week. But I thought he was his attitude and how he approached the game was fantastic.
You have a very mature approach to these things. In fact, it was the same with yourself when Lincoln came in. Did you sit down and discuss things with Jack, or how did it work that he came to the decision, or that he, well, I don't know how exactly it worked. Did he come to the decision to stay? Did he come to the decision not to sell him? What way did it work?
No, look, clubs make bids. It goes to our sporting director, Stephen McPhail, and it goes to the board, Kieran Medler, the chairman, and the board, and we sit down. Jack's obviously made aware of it, and we sit down. It was an unbelievable opportunity for Jack MLS, really good club, and it's one that I'm sure was very enticing for Jack, but obviously we have him under contract, and to be fair to Jack, he respects that and understands that. And like I said tonight, he could have easily lost focus, but he was excellent.
And it says an awful lot about Shamrock Rovers that he is out of contract at the end of the year. You could have cashed in now, which he didn't.
I think we've done brilliant business in the transfer market the last few years. I think we've sold a lot of players. We've lost a lot of players. But I think the board have made a really good decision. He, like I said, he's a top player. And when he's playing at the level he's playing at now, he's so important for us.
And just before I let you go, you got to give a few players a bit of a run tonight, including Conan Noonan. Good to see him back, because he's had a few issues with COVID and whatnot, so it's good to see him playing football. Another young man off the Rovers production line.
Yeah, we really love Conan. He's a top player. He's had his problems off the field, we know, with the COVID and everything else with his heart, but he's been back. He's made a few appearances this year, and he's a kid with tremendous ability, and you'll see a lot more of him over the season and hopefully many seasons to come.
Well done tonight. Thank you, Stephen.
Cheers, thank you.
Tim, a 2-0 defeat to Shamrock Rovers here in Richmond Park. What are your thoughts on the game?
A little bit disappointed with how we played. I didn't think we were anywhere near as dangerous as we have been in maybe the last 5 weeks or five games, and got beaten by a couple of good strikes, but they had other chances as well. Dean has made a couple of great saves, and they had one or two other that they possibly should have scored, but just the big moments where we could possibly equalise Jamie Lennon, and it goes wide, and then a couple of minutes later we get done by a great strike by Trevor Clark. But again, it's same old story. We need to make fouls. I'll take a yellow card there, be more ruthless, and keep the game at 1-0 and it gives us a chance.
Is that something that the players have to learn? Is that something they should already know? Where does that come from, and where do you find it?
Well, it's not. I'm not saying I just go around and just foul on people. I mean, just try and make a tackle. But again, listen, that's not the reason why we lost the game. And we had a couple of chances first half. Chris had a header from a corner, just straight past the post. Jake has a snapshot. And again, a couple of corners we had a bit of pressure on. And we got into really good positions down this right-hand side as well. And a little bit disappointed with our ball into the box. But listen, Shamrock Rovers are an excellent team. I think you've seen them on song tonight, and we were a little bit off.
You mentioned there that you weren't as good tonight as you have been in recent weeks. I think you used the word haven't been as dangerous. Is that as much down to them being very good as you being a little bit off, or what do you put it down to?
Listen, you've got to put it down to both, probably. I think we could have been more dangerous. And again, you're playing against, that's in my mind, the best team in the league. So if we're a little bit off it, that's what happens. You get punished with an unbelievable strike by Trevor Clark and a pretty good strike by Johnny Kenny as well.
Cheers, Tim.
Cheers,
so that's all the reaction from Richmond Park, where Shamrock Rovers beat St. Pat's by 2-0. This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. Still to come, Neil Horgan on Cork City's 3-1 defeat at home to Derry City. But first, let's go to former Drogheda player Paul Crowley, who was on LOI TV duty tonight at Weavers Park, where the Drogs lost 2-0 to Bowes. He watched the game and afterwards sent us this voice note.
Neither team getting a foothold in the game in the first half, really. Bohemians lead it through. Paddy Kirk's good play from the left-hand side. He cuts inside. Grimes unable to get good pressure on the ball, and he finishes Pat McCabe in the corner. But this probably big speaking point in the first half was Freddie Draper's chance maybe just before that. Very similar to Dundalk and Pat's games here, where Drogheda have had big moments in the games to lead, where they're unable to take and being caught in the sucker punch then, with Bohemians taking the lead. Second half started brighter for Drogheda. Really got a foothold in the game. Bowes very disappointingly sat behind the ball really the whole second half, and nearly trying to see out a 1-0 win for the whole second half. Drogheda with no maybe real clear-cut chances, but definitely dominated the second half and pinned Bowes back. Bowes unable to get out, made several substitutions to try and flip things around the Divine, but Drogheda still finished the game strong. Ryan Brennan had a great chance falling on his left side. He just kind of swiped at it, didn't take it. Michael Leddy then, after about 80 minutes, a half chance also. But again, dropped a dominant Keeley's header then just by the post. Sucker punch then. Bowes, when Drogheda were pushing on the last few minutes, Bowes on the counter-attack. McDade was shoved out wide by McCabe. Looked like he had still a bit to do from the angle, but he slotted into the corner. Very similar to Patrick's Athletic, just to see the game out safely for Bohemians. But listen, they go home with the 3 points tonight. 2-0 win away from home with a clean sheet. Didn't play as well as they would have liked, I'd imagine, in the second half. But as I said, they go home comfortable 2-0 winners on the night.
Here at Weavers Park for the Extra Time Voice Notes, where Bohemians have beaten Drogheda United by 2 goals to nil. I'm here with Bowes' first goal scorer, Paddy Kirk. Paddy, how did you sum up that game? It was a real, real tight game today, and I suppose you'd rather win ugly than lose beautifully.
That's it, you said it yourself. I think it was kind of a game of two halves. We probably had a lot more of the ball, and we were able to play a bit more in the first half. The second half, we got the goal, and the game kind of changed. We you know, Drogheda came out fast and they were putting a lot of pressure on us, but it's nice to win that way, you know, where you soak it up, and those wins are really important for the dressing room.
It takes three away clean sheets in a row now for you. It's like, that's real good quality to have in the side.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something that, you know, Declan's emphasised is coming to these places where, you know, there's going to be pressure, you know, the crowd's on you. It's really important as a back four, as an 11, as a whole squad, that we come here and keep clean sheets, because to build on clean sheets is massive, and it's a lot easier.
It was one of those games where it was more about the result than it was the performance. What's it like in the dressing room when you go in after really, really grinding out a win like that?
The dressing room is brilliant. And as I said before, it's probably our strongest attribute is that we have 20 lads who, you know, all want the same thing. And no matter what 11 he picks, you know, there's nine lads who aren't involved or on the bench or not involved that are behind the lads. So it's really, really strong dressing room and really good people in there. It's important.
8 wins now from 11 games. How would you assess the start so far?
It's been good. Yeah, we're disappointed now with the couple of losses that we've had. I think they were games where we probably could have got something from. But you know, as you said, 8 wins. It's a really good start, and we're just looking to continue to build on that. The first phase of games was really good, and we're just looking at now on blocks the next phase of games to try and match that.
Obviously a goal for yourself tonight, I think that's 12 different goal scorers in 11 games, is a unique enough stat really when you think about it. What was going through your mind when it came to you on the left and you chopped inside in your right foot?
Oh, to be honest, I'm never up that, I'm rarely up that high, so when the chance came, I just said, oh, I'll hit it on the right foot. Obviously playing left side, it's when you're coming inside the kind of pitch opens up, but it was really nice to get the goal, and then obviously Decky able to get one late. But yeah, the amount of goal scorers has been another really strong point from us. You know, it's important that you're not relying on one or two bodies to get the goals. They're coming from everywhere.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that is all the reaction from Weavers Park. First, you heard from Paul Crowley, and then you heard from Bulls defender Paddy Kirk speaking to Ronan McNamara. Let's go to Turner's Cross. Cork City losing 3-1 to Derry City. Watching this one for us was former Cork City fullback Neil Horgan, and afterwards he sent us this voice note.
Cork City started well in the first 10-15 minutes, perhaps a natural reaction to the loss to UCD away to UCD last week. But after that, Derry found their way, and a goal from Ronan Boyce from a corner from the returning Michael Duffy separated the sides at half time. In truth, Derry dominated the second half, or the first half, from probably the 15 to 20 minute on, due to the great play of the likes of Sadio Diallo in the middle of the park, who the holding midfielder who basically picked up all the second balls and kept the ball for Derry. And Cork City were pinned back going into half time. Second half, game livened up a little bit, and Cork City again looked to be in it. However, the returning Michael Duffy was very influential throughout the game, was at the end of a great move actually that started with Diallo and went back to his keeper Brian Maher, whose distribution was outstanding, to his left back Ben Doherty, who gave a lovely inside ball to Duffy, and when the defenders Cork City seemed to back off, Duffy didn't waste any time and drilled a low ball to Jimmy Corcoran's near post. Perhaps Corcoran would be disappointed that he didn't stop it, but Derry were very much on their way to 3 points. The third goal, when it arrived, was from Colin Whelan, a substitute for Derry, who did very well to set up the chance himself, turning a counter-attack, turning on in the midfield, beating a player or two, and basically being at the end of a number of rebounds. He finished the ball into the net with aplomb. And at that stage, the Cork fans were certainly grumbling, and the only, I suppose, salvo was the goal by Tunde Owalbi, who was brought on late on in the game. And to be fair, it looked like Derry's captain, McJanet, may have been fouled in the lead-up. But in any event, Tunde finished it quite well, and the game finished 3-1. Overall, Cork City will be worried, and Derry City used a full complement of their subs, had players returning, and in particular the return of Duffy, who through his just general know-how of the game and bit of class here and there would seem to be an important player for Derry if they're going to have a run at the league title this year. Rory Higgins will be very happy. Colin Healy will be less so. And whilst the players fought gamely, there were a few chances. In fairness, Brian Maher made some absolutely brilliant saves late on. In truth, the game was never in doubt after the first 15 minutes. And Cork move on, wondering where they'll get their next points. Derry move on, thinking how good we are, how good are Derry, you know. And they certainly, from this evidence, they look like they'll be in the top one, two, or three in the league. Cork are looking at the bottom one, two, or three, it seems, and hoping that their league title really is probably third from bottom. So 3-1 tonight, Derry full value for their win. Cork City have a bit of worrying to do, but they're a young side, and let's hope they can pick it up from here.
Former Cork City defender Neil Horgan on City's 3-1 defeat to Derry City. What a night for Colin Whelan, who made his debut for the club and scored. Afterwards, as you can understand, he was quite emotional, and he spoke to Drive 105.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was a dream to come on and score after 11 or 12 months out now. It was last May that I got injured, and it's been a long, very long road back.
Long and lonesome road, I suspect, doing all that training on your own and so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, it's been hard. It has been, but you stay dreaming of this moment the whole time. And that's lucky enough, that's what ends up happening for me. So,
but I think one of the things that I think was noticeable about your time out, however unfortunate it was for you, is that you always seem to have the faith of the manager.
Yeah, no, definitely. Rory brought me in January, and he's trusted me, and he brought me in injured, so I've every respect for him for signing me out when I was injured and believing in me for I could come on and do this and hopefully drive on now and score plenty more for Derry.
Congratulations. Well
Cheers.
Done, Colly. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and I'm racing to a finish here because the lights are beginning to go off around me in Richmond Park. If you're listening to this on Saturday, keep an eye on your phone. I might be sending you a text to let me out of the ground. Let's scan through the Premier Division table before we go. Bohemians top on 24 points. They've played 11 games. Derry City second on 19 points. They've also played 11 games. Shamrock Rovers third on 18 points. Like the top two, they've played 11 matches. St. Pat's are fourth on 17 points. They've also played 11, as have Shelburne, who are 5th on 14. Dundalk, 6th on 13. Sligo Rovers, 7th on 13. But a win tonight against UCD could lift them up a couple of places. Drogheda, 8th on 13 points. Cork City, 2nd from bottom on 9 points, 4 points ahead of UCD. In the First Division, let's run through the scores. Galway United came from 1-0 down away to Kerry to win 4-1, their 10th victory in a row. Waterford were 4-0 up thanks to Ronan Coughlin, who scored all 4, according to the FAI Connect app anyway. But they only won by 1 in the end, 4-3 the final score. Wexford losing 1-0 to Finharps, a huge, huge win for Dave Rogers and his team. Cove Ramblers went 1-0 up, but Treaty United equalised and it finished 1-1. Tomorrow in the First Division, well, today probably as you listen, Saturday, Longford host Bray Wanderers, that one kicks off at 7:30. In the Women's National League, Galway meeting Sligo, Treaty up against Dealore, Piemont meeting Wexford, Shamrock Rovers take on Bowes, and Athlone play Cork City. Full detail on all of those games, both pre-match and then obviously match reports post-game on extratime.com. In the Premier Division, Sligo Rovers hosting UCD. That game is going to be live on LOI TV, but you'll also be able to listen to commentary on Ocean FM. Not sure if they're doing that on the FM frequency or if they're doing it online, but either way there will be commentary. Let's just run through the First Division table if we can find, which I'm absolutely sure that we can. Galway on top on 30 points, Waterford second on 20 points, Cove Ramblers third on 15 points, Bray Wanderers fourth on 15, Athlone fifth on 13, Finharp sixth on 13, Wexford seventh on 11, Treaty eighth on 7, Longford Town 9th on 6 points and Kerry bottom on 2 points. Right, that's almost it for myself, Oisín Langan. Remember, lots more detail on all of the games across the First Division, Premier Division and Women's National League and underage action as well on extratime.com. You can get in contact with us through our social media channels, particularly Twitter at Extratime News or me personally on at Oisín Langan. That's it from Richmond Park. You're probably listening on Saturday, but I'm recording on Friday night. I hope you have a nice weekend. We'll be back next week. Take care. Bye-bye.